Hello. From the studios of 2RPH, welcome to another edition of RPH's new program, AbleQuest, where we examine assistive technologies and related subjects for people living with disabilities. I'm Barbara Sullivan, and this is AbleQuest. In the past few editions, we've explored some rather complex technologies, such as the bionic eye and the use of stem cells. While development of these is progressing rapidly to the preclinical trial phase, it will be some years before they're available to the public. So today we felt we should look at subject matter which is more immediately accessible, specifically navigational and orientation tools for those living with visual impairment. Recently, I read an opinion piece in the Angry Cripple column on ABC's Ramp Up website, and I'm going to introduce this topic by reading some of it now. By the way, if you don't know the site, it's dedicated to discussion and debate on disabilities. The address is www.abc.net.au/rampup, and that's R-A-M-P-U-P. For those of us who take sight for granted as our primary navigational aid, this evocative story is salutary. Guest writer Andrew Devenish Mears, who is blind, recounts his immense frustration while commuting to work. Last week, my morning train pulled into Redfern Station as normal. There was the usual struggle to get off the train, dodging and weaving around the people who just stand there and won't move. I got out and followed the noise to somewhere near the bottom of the stairs, which I managed to miss. When my cane hit the side of the lower stairs, I realised my mistake and doubled back. I trudge up the stairs with the throngs and enter the concourse. I reach the stairs to platforms 4 and 5, which are set back. While listening for people coming up the stairs, the background noise makes it impossible to work out if the path is clear, if people are standing in the way, or if there's actually traffic there. Slowing down, I pass the entrance to the platform as the cane finds only empty space. I take 2 steps forward before I'm hit first on my left side, and as I bounce off him, spin slightly and try to move forward, I'm hit from the right. Double whammy. People just keep walking, and I try to get out of the way. I swerve right, and the cane touches the ground and the barrier as I crash into yet another body. Stumbling and half-tripping while the people move around and keep going, I take another step, and something feels wrong, badly wrong. The cane isn't running over the ground properly. The now useless thing is in 2 pieces, held together by the elastic inside. I throw the rubbish on the ground and shout. I don't remember exactly what I shouted. At this point, I'm totally stuck. I can't see anything meaningful. I have nothing to track the ground with. I'm close to tears and in shock. I've lost my independence and my mobility. Completely. In his article, Andrew was railing against the carelessness of the rush hour crowd rather than the inadequacy of his aids. However, this vignette highlights the need for the visually impaired to be really self-sufficient. They need to have access to advanced tools that provide security and independence in this fast-moving, distracted and, some feel, increasingly thoughtless society. The most familiar navigational aids are simple technologies, like the basic white cane and the handheld mini-guide. They are widely used and more or less dependable. For centuries, blind people have used canes to help them get around more easily. Then in 1921, according to Wikipedia, a Bristol man, James Biggs, who became blind after an accident and was uncomfortable with the amount of traffic around his home, painted his walking stick white to be more easily visible. In the 80 years since then, the trusty white cane has served a dual purpose: to identify blind people and to act as a mobility aid for them. Simple, effective, used by the majority of the 300,000 blind or partially blind people in Australia, or an estimated 285 million worldwide. Over the decades, it's been technically refined in such ways as the use of light flexible materials, telescopic or folding design for portability, and replacing a rigid tip with rollerballs for smoother ground contact. Christo Sarantakis, who is completely blind and who, incidentally, worked for some years here at the station, uses a white cane with rollerball in conjunction with a small, lightweight mini-guide, one in each hand. He finds the mini-guide useful because it alerts him when things are close by and augments the information from the cane. It uses ultrasonic echolocation to detect objects up to 8 metres away and vibrates to indicate the distance to objects, overhangs, trees, lampposts, etc. The faster the vibration rate, the nearer the objects. He finds it very easy to use, having tried various other aids before, such as sonic guide glasses. But the next generation versions of these everyday and proven mobility aids are now successfully integrating several types of software into one tool, such as GPS or global positioning system, spatial, human-computer interaction, and social technologies. Dr. Shashi Shaka, from the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota, sums up what inspires the developers to bring these new generation tools to market. Full participation in modern society requires mobility. It is so simple that most people take it for granted. But finding one's way across campus to a class, locating one's doctor's office in a large medical centre, or just walking down the street to meet a friend can be difficult or impossible for people with visual impairment. Each of the situations to which he refers here requires a different technological approach: outdoor navigation, indoor navigation, social interaction. He goes on to say, independent travel through urban environments, including complex indoor spaces such as schools and office buildings, is an important prerequisite for full participation in modern society. Existing aids, such as the white cane and guide dog, are of great help, particularly in avoiding obstacles along one's way. However, they do not solve other key problems faced by visually impaired people, especially for indoor navigation aids, including route planning, learning spatial layouts, and discovering landmarks or other points of interest. Technological aids that incorporate GPS guidance provide additional help for outdoor navigation. However, there is a significant unmet need for navigation aids for indoor spaces. Developing an aid that specifically addresses the complexities of indoor navigation for a blind person, in Dr. Shakar's words, requires applying knowledge from a variety of specialties, solving challenging problems in each, and integrating the results. These specialties include cognitive science and computer science. Theories of spatial cognition are necessary to identify information processing subtasks, for example, obstacle avoidance, wayfinding, and localization, environmental cues and information resources required to complete these tasks, and the cognitive demands associated with particular presentation of information. Research in human-computer interaction, or HCI, is required to systematically map the space of multimodal navigation interfaces and produce particular interfaces tailored to specific users, tasks, or use situations. Closely allied research in spatial databases is required to represent spatial knowledge, query for upcoming or nearby landmarks, and compute efficient and easy-to-follow routes. Reading that, somehow the application of GPS technology for outdoor navigation seems quite simple. A Singaporean design student, Selena Chu, has made a technological breakthrough with what she calls the blind spot cane. Incorporating several functions into one tool, it recently won second prize in the James Dyson Awards. I'll read from an article about the blind spot from Co.exist, which is an extension of the US magazine Fast Company, dealing with breakthrough technologies. It's entitled, "A Cane for the Blind Improves Social Interactions, Sunday Strolls." As scientists make slow and steady progress on sensors to help the blind see and move, this cane helps them say hi to friends. While the National Federation for the Blind is pushing to build an auto interface that lets visually impaired people drive safely and autonomously, design student Selena Chu has a much more modest technological breakthrough to help the 285 million people who are blind or partially blind. The blind spot cane, a clever and empathetic technological attempt to create new opportunities for social interaction for the visually impaired by harnessing GPS technology and non-visual interface design. "I took the approach to serve their emotional needs more than just their physical needs," she says. So for her design program at the National University of Singapore, she built a prototype white cane that doubles as a GPS-enabled smartphone with a tactile and audio interface that lets a blind user walk more confidently while navigating social settings a little more easily than usual. Their social life is dependent on the people around them. They cannot say hi to a friend without the friend saying hi first, Chu explains. A blind person could be standing right next to a friend at a bus stop and not know it. The blind spot cane will alert the blind friend that someone they know is nearby and direct them to initiate a hello. That's an empowering new ability. It's not a pressing health issue that a blind person won't ever see a classmate across the quad and be able to go up to them and ask about sharing notes, or that a blind child wouldn't know his mother arrived at school to pick him up until she comes over to tap him on the shoulder. But each step toward fuller autonomy is an important one for the sensory impaired. The friend-finding feature works because the cane contains a specially designed phone that slots into the handle and connects to a Bluetooth earpiece with an audio interface. A trackball on the handle controls the menu and points which way to go. When a friend checks in on Foursquare or any other location sharing service, the cane alerts the blind user with an audio message saying how far away the person is, down to how many steps it will take to reach them. The cane offers the option to ignore, call the friend, or, most impressively, go find them, an option blind people don't usually get to experience. The tactile navigator is a directional pointer that translates GPS map directions into an arrow that points towards the way to go, Chu says. In addition to the phone features, the blind spot cane also does a better job at its primary function, preventing a blind person from walking into things. An ultrasonic sensor detects obstacles a normal cane would not, like hanging objects, rails, or other protruding structures that ground-level sweep of a cane might miss. If, say, a broom handle is slanting out of a garbage can, a standard cane would sweep under the broom without detecting it, leaving the handle dangerously aimed right at the blind walker's head. The blind spot cane senses it and beeps a warning call in the Bluetooth earpiece. And like other minimalist white gadgets with just one button these days, the blind spot's design elegance makes it easy to handle at home. The electronic components detach from the cane to charge cable-free on an inductive charging dock. And when the phone component is not inserted, it acts just like a regular cell phone. So you can still accept calls without the Bluetooth headpiece, controlling the menu with the tactile trackball on the back. So it seems there is a lot in development to help blind people achieve greater physical and social independence, with brilliant scientific and design minds applying themselves to this goal. Christo Sarantakis, like the majority of visually impaired people, wants to learn about new aids and is willing to try them out. We chatted about a fascinating new portable electronic device that can scan the barcode on an item and deliver information from a massive database. Apart from descriptions of items, it can identify contents, instructions and warnings in such things as cans, boxes, clothing, playing cards, prescription drugs, plus playlists on CDs and much more. But that is a subject for another time. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next time.